Now, we're talking this week about the gift of faith. Why don't you turn to Luke 18 in your Bibles? And I'm going to stay on track, Lord willing. This is going to be a one-part message, but it could be two. I'm not making promises. Luke 18. And forgive me, if you've been looking on the internet, the messages from last week are not up yet. Been a busy week, recovering week, but we're going to get there, okay? I hope to get those uploaded today. And they should be up at least by tonight or tomorrow. Just keep your eye out. If you want to go back and listen to it, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. Find that word that was spoken over you directly and listen to it and write. How many of you have already started your prophetic notebook? You started typing these words out. Good for you. Good for you. I started working on mine too. A fresh prophetic word from Brother Joe last week. And I'm typing it up and I'm going to put it in that notebook and read it. What do we say with prophetic words? What do you do with them? You write them. You read them. You release them. You speak them through your mouth. You write them. You read them often. It says in the scriptures about Mary, the mother of Jesus, it says she pondered these things often in her heart, the promises of God concerning her newborn son. And then, you know, you speak it out. You speak it out. You release that word because that's how you war. That's how you make this thing help. You cooperate. You partner with God to bring it to pass. Amen?
Amen.
Right, there's another sermon itself. All right. All right. Luke 18. Luke 18. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God today. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives, the blessings that are overflowing in this house. Thank you, Lord, for healings, for financial blessings. Lord, all of your goodness being poured upon us. We look to you, Jesus, now. Open our ears, illumine your word to us. Increase our faith, Lord, and cause it to rise. Help us to step out in you in this gift of faith and exercise it, Lord, in greater measure this coming year. As we hear the word, we will produce fruit in you by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Luke 18, 8. Look at it. Look at that verse with me, if you would, please. I'm not going to back up and read the whole parable. This is that parable about the unjust judge and the lady, you know, pleading her case. And it says here, Jesus says here, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Talking about God. God will avenge his own children speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, Jesus is teaching a parable here, as I said, about persistent prayer. About a lady who went to a judge over and over and said, plead my case, give me justice. And the guy was an unjust judge. He was an ungodly judge. And yet, because she pleaded with him constant and constant and constant, he finally yielded. And Jesus is saying, won't God do the same for his kids? He's not an unjust judge. If you and I took our case to him over and over again, would he not extend justice to you? And Jesus says, of course he will. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? In other words, will he find this persistent, pleading kind of faith that goes to him again and again and again and won't let go? I call it bulldog faith, right? It's like a bulldog, right? They have that jaw that'll lock onto something, hopefully not your leg, and it just won't let go, right? You know, that's the kind of faith Jesus is provoking in his disciples. And he's saying this interesting. He says, when the Son of Man comes, guess what, folks? We're living in that day. We're living in that time where I believe Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
Could come in our lifetime. Amen. And Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, at that point in history, will this kind of dogged, determined faith be around? Will I find it? Jesus is asking a question. Will he find it? He never answers the question for us.
Wow.
And you know, I bump into Christians all the time that are in unbelief. That's why we intentionally named this church Believers Fellowship. We're not a fellowship of unbelievers. How many of you know there are churches out there where the whole group is in unbelief? That's not us. We're faith people. Amen? We're walking in faith.
Amen.
And Jesus says, in the last days, in the time of my coming, will I find faith on the earth? I'm telling you, saints, it's hard to find sometimes. I find a lot of Christians that are talking. You hear them talk. Because faith is expressed in our words. You know? And people talk about their issues and talk about unbelief and their finances, you know, I never can seem to get ahead, or talk about issues in their body, complaining about their body, or I got this disease, and they'll claim it with their own mouth. I got my cancer, or my this, or my that. Listen, don't say that ever, never, never. Listen, you may be fighting that disease in your body, but don't ever call it mine.
That's right.
Jesus is looking for some faith in these days. Amen? Bless
Amen.
You. And he is looking for a people that will walk in and talk in faith. And he says, will the Son of Man find faith in those days? Listen, my aim is to stoke your fire. Stoke your faith. And that's why we come to church. That's why the devil hates you coming to church. Because your fire is going to get lit. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's right.
If your pilot light's gone out, the Lord's going to relight it. Amen? Get your flames stoked. Reinhard Bonnke said this. He said, the divine fire, talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the divine fire that comes from the baptism of the Holy Spirit changes your status from ordinary to extraordinary. Listen, folks, we were never meant to live an ordinary life. That is not Christianity. Now, quiet and peaceful life, that's part of the package. But ordinary, no, far from it. Your life and mine, even if it's a quiet thing, over and over in our life, we should be seeing miracles, answers to prayer. Amazing things happen. Even if the general public is totally unaware of it, because how many of you know the kingdom comes, Jesus said, without observation.
Yes.
It comes quietly, under the radar, for those who believe. Did you ever notice that? Unbelievers, even if you did a miracle in front of them, they go, well, I'm not so sure. Right? That's right. Jesus said in the story, in the parable, the rich guy, Lazarus, the man who was, the dogs were licking his sores, Jesus said, even if he was raised from the dead, the guy that was rich that died and went to hell, Jesus said, even if he was raised from the dead and went to visit his brothers, they wouldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. Yep. He said, they have the prophets. So, I say that to say, wow, I got almost distracted by that. That's exciting.
Yes.
Miracles happen in my life all the time. And the unbelievers around me don't see it. They're not privy to it because they're walking in unbelief. Mm-hmm. They're living in unbelief. Amen? But we're called to live in faith.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh, I'm getting so excited. I'm getting distracted. I better keep on track here. Never mind. Two things. My life mission lately, to explore the kingdom and bring people into the kingdom. Amen? We've used this analogy that when you get born again, it's like walking into the shopping mall. And the mall is amazing, especially for you ladies. It's really amazing. This is meant for ladies. It's meant to pull our wallets their way with our ladies. All right? The mall's an amazing place, and the kingdom is an amazing thing. Listen, I'm all about discovering the kingdom. This is what God's doing in my heart lately. He's just saying, just find out what's been given to you in Christ Jesus, and then run back to the door and pull everybody in that you can. Amen? It's like the balance between evangelism and growing in the Lord. That's what he's calling all of us to do. Did you know that? Yeah, we're called to bring people through the door. What's the door? The blood of Jesus, the work
yes.
of the cross. That
yes.
gets them saved. It gets them into the mall. But once we get them into the mall, then there's the whole kingdom to teach people about. You got healing. You got prosperity. You got peace in your relationships. You know, this is how to live a godly life. All those things are like walking through the mall, the amazing aspects and dimensions of a shopping mall. It's not even the best analogy, but it's as close as I can find on earth. You know, it's like walking in. But, you know, this is our calling, saints. Now, okay, Ephesians 4. I'm warming up. It's going to be a hot message, I'm telling you. Ephesians 4, 8. Look at this verse with me. Ephesians 4:8, talking about Jesus after the resurrection. Now we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. I know you think I've got off track here, but I'm on track. Ephesians 4:8, look at it with me. This is one of the best books Paul ever wrote, Ephesians. It's an amazing book. You could just spend your lifetime soaking up Ephesians. So much in there about our place in Christ. But look what it says here. This is why it says, quote, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now, we're not going to focus on the captivity captive. According to the translations I read, there's two different lines of thoughts there. I'm not going to get off on that today. But the part I want to stand out to you is he gave gifts to men. When Jesus rose from the dead, rose up out of the grave, what did he do? He led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Don't you love it? What were those gifts? Well, in the context here in Ephesians, they were the fivefold ministers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Right? We call it the fivefold ministry. That was part of what, and that's in the context here, because we've always got to take scripture in context. That's what Jesus gave. He arose from the grave, and as proof of his resurrection, he gave gifts to men. I'm a gift to you.
Amen.
Amen.
You're welcome.
Yes.
I am. I'm a gift to you. God has given me as pastor to you.
Amen.
And I'm learning
how
to be one. I'm growing. Thank you for your patience. And that's one of the proof of the resurrection, is that a man would be willing or a woman would be willing to stand in the office of a pastor, prophet, apostle, teacher, and do what God's called him to do. That's proof of his resurrection. When he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. What else did he give in gifts? Well, he gave the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, he poured out his Spirit. We don't have to pray, Lord, pour out your Spirit. We don't have to pray that prayer. I know what we mean well when we say it. It's been poured out. He's been poured out, I should say. It's not a gift. The Holy Spirit is a he. He's a being. He's a person. And he's been poured out on the day of Pentecost. He never left since.
Amen.
And on that day, when he got poured out, also with him came the nine gifts. Mm-hmm. Right? Because all of us have attributes. Mm-hmm. Some of us are athletic. Some of us are artistic, etc. You have attributes. And part of the attributes of the Holy Spirit are these nine gifts. Do you realize that? He knows things. He's wise. He does miracles. He has faith. All these gifts. They are him. It's who he is. And when Jesus rose on high, he poured out these. He gave gifts to men. Say, these are given to me. They're for you and for me. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? And we had a big dose of it last weekend. We had words of knowledge, words of wisdom. I shared Wednesday night. You know, some of the things, I know if you may be in here, you raise your hand if I asked or took a survey. Some of the things that Brother Joe spoke over you, you may already be operating in. And it came as a word of knowledge. You know, like I heard him say things like, you're going to work with children. Well, one of the persons I heard him say that to, they were already working with children. So it was really a word of knowledge.
Okay? Right.
But the Holy Spirit's just flowing, 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 flowing. Weren't you blessed?
Yes.
Weren't you blessed?
Absolutely.
Don't forget it. Write it, read it, release it. Amen? Release those prophetic words. But he gave gifts to men. These are proof of the resurrection. Listen, I would propose to you today, a gospel without these nine gifts of the Spirit would be no proof at all. No proof at all. You're not meant to go out there and preach the gospel to a world and not show proof of the gospel, of his resurrection, the nine gifts of the Spirit. Now let's read those nine gifts one more time. This is our key text, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Would you turn there with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's review those nine gifts. I want to solidify this with you. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Are you there?
Yep.
Okay. The manifestation of the Spirit. Say that with me. The manifestation of the Spirit. So when the Spirit's manifesting, what should we see? Right here. It's given to every man to profit withal. To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. We've covered that already. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. That's what we're talking about today. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. We've covered that. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. These all work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. In other words, the Holy Spirit says, at this moment, I'm going to give you this tool.
Amen.
Okay? Now, any believer who's baptized in the Holy Spirit, who has welcome that experience of the overflow of the Holy Spirit in their life, they're eligible to work in these gifts. Amen? We call them power tools. Why? Because they get the job done. They get it done right.
Amen.
And as we just read from Ephesians 4:8, because he gave gifts to men, it's proof of his resurrection, his ascension. What is proof of his resurrection? Gifts to men.
Yes.
Amen? It's proof. Jesus could have just said, I'm out of here. See y'all when you die. No, he said, I'm pouring something out on you. Pouring it out. And he hasn't stopped pouring yet. Amen? It's been pouring. He's been pouring and pouring. Listen, till we go to be with Jesus, we need the gifts of the Spirit.
Amen.
If I see you in 50 years, I'm going to look at you and I and say, are you still flowing in the gifts?
Amen.
Still hanging around a church where they preach the gifts of the Spirit? Are you still operating the gifts? Are you still experiencing the gifts? Because we never outgrow needing these gifts.
Amen?
Amen?
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, today we're talking about the gift of faith. It's that simple phrase there in verse, what was it?
Oh.
Nine, thank you. The gift of faith to another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, what is this faith? First of all, I'm going to define it. I'm going to distill it here for you real clearly. What it is not. Okay? I'm going to define what this gift of the Spirit known as the gift of faith. We're going to look at it under the microscope. But first, we've got to eliminate some things. How many of you know when you're doing scientific research, maybe you've got to sift through some dirt. You've got to kind of push out other things so you can really get a clear view of what you're looking at. First of all, this is not the gift like you needed when you first got saved. This is not what we call saving faith. Okay? When you got saved, you heard the gospel message. The Bible, you know, the Bible says, we go out and preach so that people can hear. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, we'll read about this saving faith. It's one of the things that this faith is not. But let's take a look at saving faith. Romans 10, 9 and 10. I know this is going to be basic review for some of you, but how many of you know we need review?
Yeah.
Romans 10, verse 9. If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto what? Salvation. So this is this faith that we're talking about, this gift of the Spirit, is not this kind of faith that we just read about in Romans 10, 9 and 10. That's what we call saving faith. With the heart, man believes, with the mouth, he confesses unto salvation. That got you in the door, all right? We were just talking about the door a moment ago. All right, but that's not what this gift of faith is. Look at Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Again, I want to clarify what saving faith is. Ephesians 2, 8. We were in 4, 8 a minute ago. I want to look at Ephesians 2, 8. I'm going to give you an illustrated sermon here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I brought this beautiful little Russian nesting doll that was given to my wife. And the Lord just gave me this illustration. You know what a nesting doll is, don't you? Apparently they love these in Russia. A nesting doll is a doll within a doll within a doll. I don't know how far this down goes down. We'll just go four layers. That's deep enough. When you got saved, you got this deposit of faith. All right. In another verse in Romans 12:3, we don't have time to turn there, but it says, to each man was given the measure of faith. That got you saved. God gave you a measure of faith to get you saved. But that faith didn't stop there. Did you know that?
That's right.
That faith is like a living seed in you and I. Mm-hmm. It believed. It got you in the door. It got you saved. It got you born again into the kingdom. That faith that God gave you that we just read about in Ephesians 2:8, not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. It was the gift of God. It was like this little nesting egg, or nesting doll. But how many of you know, as time goes on, you need more faith?
Yes.
Your faith needs to grow. So your faith goes from being that little bitty doll, got her skirt on right here, okay, to a bigger thing, right? And maybe then your faith increased so you could receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You could receive that gift that the Lord had for you. And your faith grew a little bit. And then one day someone told you, you don't have to make it on your own. God has prosperity for you. He has a way for your finances to increase supernaturally. You heard a prosperity message preached from the Word of God, which is part of the gospel, mind you.
Yes.
Jesus said the first group, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to who? The poor. All right? Jesus is a practical God. Salvation is a practical salvation. And so your faith grew and you said, yeah, I don't have to be poor no more. Your faith grew. Your faith grew. Because it's a living faith, saints. Until we go to be with Jesus, our faith should grow and grow and grow. That's how powerful it is. It was like a seed God put in us at the new birth. But it's not just a little seed that sprung up a little plant. It's meant to grow. There's so much in it. It's like a, what do they call it? Time released.
Yes.
Yeah, like a time released capsule, right? You get the idea of through medicine. That's what your faith is like. It's this powerful seed that God gave you, got you in the door, got you saved. But it's growing, and it's growing. And how does it grow? We nurture it. How do we nurture it? Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, 17. You nurture that faith by hearing the Word of God. Look at it right here where it says that. Romans 10, 17. So then, are you there? Romans 10, 17. Read it with me. Look at it with me. Romans 10, 17. Very key verse for you and I because we are believers' fellowship, not unbelievers' fellowship.
Amen.
Right? Romans 10, 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. You get the idea?
Yeah.
Okay, it never ends. Saints. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And in the Greek, it actually says in the original translation there, by the Word of Christ.
Amen.
It's not just the Bible. Don't spend all your time in the Old Testament. You need to hear about Jesus.
That's right.
Because Jesus is the completion of the Old Covenant. He's the fulfillment of it. And faith comes by hearing the fulfillment. The completion, amen? The end of the story. And Jesus is the end of the story. And it goes on and on and on. But our faith grows as we hear and hear and hear. Have you noticed you leak?
Yeah.
What happens when you've heard a good sermon? You go home and life happens and you leak. Your faith leaks.
Yeah.
Your faith leaks. That's why you need to hear and hear and hear and hear and hear. Turn off talk radio now and then and pop a sermon CD in. You'll be amazed. Your faith will grow and grow and grow and grow. It's amazing. But it's what's meant to happen in you and I. This faith seed is meant to grow and grow and grow. This is not the gift of faith. that Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 12, the gift of the Spirit. This is your general, everyday believer. This is my responsibility to grow this faith by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ, or the word about Jesus and the good news. Amen? It's your responsibility and my responsibility to grow this faith. It comes by being in this book. That's why we're encouraging you to read a chapter a day, five on Sunday, whatever. If you're going to do the big course, read through the Bible in a year. But read a chapter a day. Read in the Word constantly, because your faith needs to grow and grow and grow. Listen, there's a whole lot we don't understand about faith, but we walk in the light that we have. Amen. It's like electricity. We're not, you know, I don't understand everything about electricity, but I know enough to flick that switch and not have to eat my dinner in the dark.
That's it.
All right? And we'll go from there. But listen, faith's the same way. You know, people say, well, you talk to Christians who have seen someone, you know, well, I believe God for so-and-so, and they died. And they go, well, this faith thing doesn't work. Listen, folks, it's powerful. We admit that. Mm-hmm. So let's be honest enough with ourselves and say, maybe we haven't figured it all out yet.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Amen.
Can you not get, you know, Jesus said, blessed is the man who is not offended in me.
Amen.
In other words, there are people that walk along in the Lord in life's journey, and they get to a certain point, and something happens, and it blows them out of the water. No more faith. They give up on their faith. Don't do that. Hey, just say, Lord, I don't understand.
Amen.
God's not knocked off his throne when we have questions.
Amen.
But we keep pressing forward in faith. And we keep hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. And that's how our faith grows. Listen, you and I have a responsibility to grow our faith. I'm going to get to this gift of faith, I promise you. I've only got three more pages of notes. But we have a responsibility to grow our faith. It's like this. The analogy the Lord gave me was hydration. I can tell you, David, drink water, or you'll get dehydrated. Now, I can tell him that. I can say, drink water. I can even approach David the next day and say, here's a glass of water. But if David won't drink the water, and in fact, I can go a third step. I can say, David, look how healthy and strong and vibrant and happy I am, because I've got hydration going on in my life. I can give him a little hydration envy. But none of the above may work unless David is willing to drink the water. I can't grow your faith.
That's it.
You have to grow your faith. You have to hear the word.
Amen.
You have to pray. You have to believe God. Stretch your faith muscle. Believe God. Listen, if life's a little boring for you right now, you probably haven't put God on the line lately. Mm-hmm. Maybe you haven't stretched your faith. But the life of faith is exciting, folks.
Amen.
That's why Paul said, be watchful in prayer. Be watchful in prayer. Devote yourself to prayer and being watchful therein. Why? What does he mean by that? Because if you don't watch it, you'll miss the miracles. They're happening all around you all the time. You should take note of it. Let it build your faith. I can't build your faith for you. That's our general responsibility of every believer, to build your faith. But the gift of faith, what is it? For crying out loud, Scott, tell us what it is. Okay. Here's the definition. It is a gift whereby the believer is empowered with special faith. Special faith. Wonder-working faith. Which enables us to receive a miracle. Hallelujah. It's a special kind of faith, Ramon. It comes on at a special moment in time when you need something big from God, and the Spirit says, now is the time, and here's the place, and he's the man. And boom, that gift is given to you, enabling you to receive a miracle, something mighty big from God. Aren't you glad? Amen? Aren't you? Say thank you, Lord, for that gift of faith. It's a gift. When he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. He gave the gift of faith. And it's powerful. Let me share with you. I shared just a moment ago. I got to read this to you. This is from Andrew Womack's latest book about the imagination. And I shared with you a moment ago. I said, sometimes we don't understand electricity. This thing of faith eludes us. We get discouraged. We get disgruntled. We get disillusioned. Don't go there. Listen. There's principles. And here's an example of how faith works. Let me read this to you. Years ago, I heard a testimony of a minister's wife. A minister's wife. Okay? She's got terrible eyesight. She was legally blind, and her glasses were as thick as Coke bottles. Now, at this point, I need to explain a little bit about that for you, those of you that don't are too young to remember. Back in the day, Coca-Cola came in thick glass bottles. And the bottom of those bottles was thick, right? A little thicker on the bottom to keep it from busting if you dropped it hard on the table or whatnot. So when he says Coke bottles, that's what he's talking about. Because glasses used to be made out of
glass.
Now they're plastic or whatever. Though she believed her husband's preaching about healing, she just wasn't able to see it in her own life. No matter how many people prayed for her, she never saw the results she desired. One day, a healing evangelist came to her church. Knowing he would ask to pray for her, she did everything she could to avoid him. Funny. Finally, at the end of the week, the evangelist cornered her. "I want to pray for you," he said. "Take off your glasses." The man prayed and then asked, "Can you see?" And when the minister's wife began to open her eyes, the evangelist said, "Shut your eyes." So she shut her eyes. He asked again, "Can you see?" Again, the woman began to open her eyes, but the healing evangelist rebuked her. "Shut your eyes," he said. By now, the woman was beginning to wonder if the man was insane. How could she tell if her eyes were healed if she couldn't open them? A third time, the man asked, "Can you see?" But this time, when the woman began to open her eyes, he said, "I didn't tell you to open your eyes. You've got to see yourself seeing before you can see." Finally, understanding what the man was trying to tell her, the minister's wife kept her eyes closed and prayed in the spirit. "I can see it," she said after a few minutes. "I can see myself seeing." "Open your eyes," he said. The minister's wife slowly opened her eyes, and she could see. Praise the Lord. That's how faith works. And it's contrary to our brain. That's why we, again, these are principles and laws that we have to learn to operate in, folks. And we're walking into this. Amen? And we're not letting go. The gift of faith. Look at John 1:12. Mercy. John 1:12. John 1:12. This is such a powerful verse. I have to read this. Talking about faith. John 1:12 says, "As many as received him," talking about Jesus, "but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Listen, if I was writing a book, I would say, this is the key to everything. That title would get it. Gets you a lot of books sold, doesn't it? The key to everything in the kingdom. I'd sell a lot of Christian books that way, right? People, what? It means, it works for everything? The key to everything is what? To as many as received him. See, believing is receiving. That's why the gift of faith, when it comes from the Holy Ghost, is such a powerful, powerful tool in our tool belt. Because it enables the believer to receive. "And to many as received, to them gave he power." So when you need a powerful miracle in your life, God gives you this gift from the Holy Ghost called the gift of faith, and it turns your receiver on. It's like God giving you a big catcher's mitt. Okay? Picture it like a big catcher's mitt. What is the gift of faith? It's a divine catcher's mitt that God just put on my hand to enable me to receive a miracle from God, to receive the power of God in my life. And sometimes our faith just isn't there. And hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of faith. Now, I don't want you to be a Christian who's lazily leaning on, well, you know, if the waters are troubled by the angel, I'll get my miracle. You know, like someday, hopefully, God will drop this faith on me. No. What did I say earlier? Every believer's responsibility is to steward faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. We can hear the word of God. That's one way that faith comes. It's the way that the word defines faith coming. And Jude said it too. He said, we build up our most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. So those are two things you and I can do to nurture and cultivate our faith so it's strong. Now I want to share this story with you. You like that last one? I'm going to read this one to you too. This is really good. This is out of Kenneth Hagin's book, The Gifts of the Holy Spirit, and his gifts. A powerful, powerful teaching book on what I'm sharing on right now. I'm getting a lot of my material from it. It's really good stuff. How many of you ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? It's kind of an odd name. He was a man from England. He was a plumber. Just mightily used of God. Raised several people from the dead in his lifetime. Incredible man of God. Loving man. Smith Wigglesworth said that if you will take a step of ordinary faith, which comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? That's your ordinary faith, your everyday Christian. Everybody should have it. Everybody should nurture it, faith. He said, if you'll take that step of faith, when you come to the end of that faith, very often this supernatural gift of special faith will take over. One reason more folks don't see the manifestation of special faith operating in their lives is that they don't first use what faith they already have. Use what you got, in other words, right? Under Smith Wigglesworth's ministry, at least three different people were raised from the dead, and there were probably many more. One instance of a person who was raised from the dead was a man named Mr. Mitchell, whom Wigglesworth personally knew. One day when coming home from an open-air meeting, Wigglesworth learned that his wife, Polly, was at Mr. Mitchell's house. The day before, when Wigglesworth had visited Mitchell, the sick man had been close to death. As Wigglesworth hurried to Mitchell's house, he heard screaming coming from the house, and on the way into Mr. Mitchell's room, he passed Mrs. Mitchell, who was crying, "He's gone, he's gone." Wigglesworth related his experience, quote, "I just passed Mrs. Mitchell and went into the room, and immediately I saw that Mitchell had gone. I could not understand it, but I began to pray. My wife was always afraid that I would go too far, and she laid hold of me and said, 'Don't, Dad, don't. You see that he's dead.' But I continued praying. I got as far as I could with my own faith." Did you hear that?
Yes.
He said, "I got as far as I could with my own faith." We all have a responsibility to go as far as we can with our own faith. And then God laid hold of me. Oh, it was such a laying hold that I couldn't believe for anything. That the faith of the Lord Jesus laid hold of me, and a solid peace came into my heart. And that's another assurance that's part of it. Works in tandem with the gift of faith, this divine peace that settles into your heart. Amen? And it's the same peace. This is what the martyrs had that we hear about from history. And, you know, right after the book of Acts, when they were, you know, thrown into the arenas there in Rome and fed to the lions, the Christians in those days experienced this gift of faith in the moment and a divine peace, like he's talking about right here. He said, "This solid peace came into my heart. I shouted, 'He lives, he lives, he lives.' And he is living today."
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, at least in that day, he was still, Mr. Mitchell came to life. Praise the Lord. So it's the gift of faith in operation. There was a famous minister who was asked on his deathbed. He said, all these theologians gathered around him. I heard the story once. And they said, "What is the greatest principle in the kingdom of God after all the years of ministry? You know, what the Lord has shown you." And they asked this man of God, they said, "What is the greatest principle that you've learned in the kingdom of God?" And he said, "Be it unto you according to your faith."
Amen.
Wow. Think about it. That is so powerful. Because everything that comes to us in life from the Lord comes to us as a result of our faith. Faith is your receiver. Faith is your catcher's mitt. Faith enables you to partake, as John said there in John 1:12. "For those who would receive him, to them gave he power." See, Jesus is just a philosophy without power. He's just another prophet. Just another good man. Ask anybody in the world who doesn't believe in Jesus. Say, "Who is Jesus?" "Oh, he's, you know, he taught good things," or "He was a good prophet." You know, but because they are not tasting of his power. Why? Because they're not receiving it. "What to them who believe gave he power to receive and become the sons of God." Amen? John 1:12. We're not going to go back and read it again. But it's that receiving that enables you to partake of the power. And that's what the gift of faith is. The gift of faith enables you to receive the miracle you need from God and the peace of God at the same time. Amen? Isn't it good?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's look at a couple real quick biblical examples, and we're going to land this plane. If you're taking notes, let me give you these three quick bullet points about the gift of faith. When in operation, doubt is impossible. When this gift of faith comes on you in the moment, doubt's nowhere to be seen. It's just on you. You're just soaked in unbelief. Soaked in belief. I was testing you to see if you're awake. You're soaked in belief. When this gift of faith comes on you, doubt is impossible. And secondly, it works in tandem with the working of miracles. The gift of faith often works hand in hand with the next step would be a working of miracles. It is a gift of receiving, a gift of expectation. Okay? Think of it like that. Like I said, a catcher's mitt is the best thing that comes to mind as an illustration. The gift of faith is a gift of God enabling you to receive from him. Amen? Isn't it good? All right, let's look at an example real quick in the Bible. Look at Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. The gift of faith will come upon you and it will cause you to say some things. Look at what Joshua did in Joshua chapter 10. He made the sun stand still with his words because he got the gift of faith all over him. Joshua 10, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Now it came to pass. I'm going to read it real quick because we're getting, like I said, the non-smoking sign is on. Please put your seats in the upright position. We're landing this plane. Chapter 10, verse 1. Now Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had taken Ai and totally destroyed it, doing to Ai and its king as he had done to Jericho and its king. Did you know that once upon a time Jerusalem was ruled by evil kings? That's what they're saying here. This guy Adonizedek, he was a bad king living in Jerusalem. But anyways, and then the people of Gibeon made a treaty of peace with Israel and were living near them. So he and his people were very much alarmed at this because Gibeon was an important city, like one of the royal cities. It was larger than Ai, and all its men were good fighters. So Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, appealed to Hoham, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jarmuth, Japhia, king of Lachish, and Debir, king of Eglon. Boy, that's a word minefield. Okay, they come up, he said, come up and help me attack Gibeon, because it has made peace with Joshua and the Israelites. Verse 5, then the five kings of the Amorites, all those guys, joined forces, and they moved up with all their troops and took up positions against Gibeon and attacked it. The Gibeonites then sent word to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal, do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. They had made a treaty. These Gibeonites had made a treaty with Israel. Israel wasn't supposed to do this, but it was a trickery situation. You can read about it earlier in Joshua. But he says here, because all the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces to attack us. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with all his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, don't be afraid of them. I've given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. And after an all-night march, say all-night march.
All-night.
What is that?
That's
faith in action.
Yeah.
That's what we were just talking about earlier.
Yeah.
You got to go as far as you can in your faith,
yeah.
In the Lord's faith. Your faith muscle. Everybody in here has a faith muscle. You've exercised it at this time or that time. You've prayed for your kids, your job, your cat, your dog, whatever. You have exercised. You have built your faith muscle up to a certain point. Joshua built his up to a point where he said, we're going on an all-night march. Right? Man up, guys. We're going on an all-night march. So that's faith in action right there. He says, after an all-night march, verse 9, we marched from Gilgal. Joshua took them by surprise, and the Lord threw them into confusion. Now, God's taken over the battle. And Israel defeated them in a great victory at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road up to Beth Horon and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makkedah. And as they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them. God got involved, a little baseball throw in there, from the sky. And more of them died from the hailstones than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. Now look at this, verse 12. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of the whole nation, quote, O sun, stand still over Gibeon. O moon, over the valley of Aijalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it was written in the book of Jashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day.
Wow.
So high noon, the sun stops, and for a whole day it was just frozen right there in place. Verse 14, there has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a man or hearkened to a man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
It's an awesome story. The gift of faith came on Joshua. The gift of faith to receive what? A miracle. Saying, God, this battle's not done yet. We need a little more daylight here. Okay? And so God gave Joshua the gift of faith. It came on him to receive a miracle of the sun freezing in the sky at high noon and giving him time to finish the battle. That is an example of the gift of faith. And the Bible says there's never been a day since where the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man to this extent. You see, you with me? So that, again, the gift of faith goes oftentimes hand in hand with the working of miracles. Okay, working of miracle. Joshua had faith to receive what he declared with his mouth. That faith came on him, and out of his mouth flew these words: "Sun, stand still." Now, that's a bold declaration. But when the gift of faith comes on you, you'll say some things that you're not used to saying. Praise the Lord. How many of you ever operated in the gift of faith? You believe the Lord's just given you a miraculous faith to say some things or believe God or receive God from God some things that you would normally, in your own faith muscle, to what level you'd built up, you didn't have that kind of faith before. Yeah, you've operated in that. I've operated in it. It's a wonderful gift. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We see it in the life of Daniel. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Read this verse real quick with me. I'm not going to read the whole story, but turn over to Daniel 6, 23. Look what he says there. God did for Daniel what he did because of faith. And he makes that declaration real clear in chapter 6. Look at it with me. Daniel 6, 23. I was going to read the whole story, but here we go. Look at Daniel 6, 23. We know the story. King threw him in. Nebuchadnezzar threw him into the lion's den. Lions did not eat Daniel. He's had a peaceful night's sleep with those little kitties. And look at verse 23. It says, the king was overjoyed and exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because what? You can underline this or highlight it. He believed in his God. He trusted his God. What was that? A gift of faith came on Daniel. And it gave him an inner calm in which he could sleep in the lion's den. Have a good night's sleep right there in the lion's den. The gift of faith. The gift of faith. And he declares it right here. And in his own writing, he said, because he believed in his God. That's not normal faith. Uh-uh. Peter did the same thing. I'll make a you can look this up later. Acts chapter 12, you can read about it. Verses 1 through 17. Peter was going to be executed by Herod. And it says, on the eve of his execution, he was chained between two guards and sleeping real heavy. The fact that it says the angel had to practically kick him to wake him up, set him free. He received. He had such an inner calm, an inner peace. It was a gift of faith to trust God, even in the midst of potentially dying the next day. Herod had already put one of the other apostles to death. So it was pretty sure Peter's last day here on earth was the next day. And yet he slept like a baby. Gift of faith. Gives you peace, peace, peace. Praise the Lord. You know, they say that in a certain situation, a woman could lift a car off a baby or whatnot. You know, a woman getting a car. You've heard stories of people getting a car accident or the car tumbles and the child's leg is pinned under the car and mom goes over there and does an incredible Hulk, right? So we know from human experience that it's possible. An adrenaline rush, we call it, right? An adrenaline rush enables you to do things you couldn't normally do. That's a good illustration of me what the gift of faith is like. Amen? When you need it, it's like a rush. Now, I don't need to lift a car today, but it's good to know that I could if I needed to. Right? I mean, that's just something God's put in us, in our physical being, that potential. But the gift of the Spirit, the gift of faith is there for you and I. That in a certain situation, if things were dire enough, or God wants to accomplish a job on earth big enough, and he needs us to get the job done, that tool's in our tool belt, the yes. gift of faith. You can't drum it up. You can build your faith, nurture your faith all you want. But that gift of faith, it comes from the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's an unusual empowerment to receive miracles. Amen? And next week we'll talk about working in miracles. Praise the Lord. Won't you stand with me? Praise the Lord. You know, we're living in troublesome times. I would not want to live in this world, number one, without Jesus, you know, as my Savior. And number two, without the Holy Spirit in me and all these tools available. Listen, they're on your belt, saints. You can't do anything to earn this. They're called gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen? They are gifts. That means we didn't deserve them. You can't be holy enough to get them when you need them. You just got to receive them. But they're there. Aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. And in these dire times, when we need miracles of protection, amen? We need peace in the midst of a big storm. We need the ability to receive the power of God in an unusual situation that is full of darkness. When you need wisdom and insight, when you need knowledge, when you need to be able to cast out a demon in somebody, and you don't even know that demon's there until the word of knowledge comes and says, they got a demon. Well, there you go. There's tool number one. All right? Aren't you glad in these times that we have the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Let's just welcome him. Let's just reach out and say, Lord, thank you for these gifts. Thank you for these gifts you've given to us. They're you, Holy Spirit. They're the manifestation of who you are. And we receive them with thanksgiving. We thank you that the gift of faith is given to the saints at times when we need it, Lord, like you gave to Joshua, like you gave to Peter and Daniel in the lion's den. We thank you for the gift of faith, the ability to receive, to reach out with a giant catcher's mitt and take hold of the miracle power of God. We thank you for this gift, Holy Spirit. And now I pray for the release of it in our lives, Lord. As we've heard the word today, our faith is even built to receive faith. So I thank you, Lord, that in the days ahead we'll have testimonies of the gift of faith in operation, when needed, as needed, to do amazing things. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.